Around 400 BC, Aristophanes wrote the play Lysistrata, a comedic fable about how the Greek women of the time withheld sexual favors from their war-hungry menfolk in hopes the plot would bring about an overdue peace. Kyle Hatley uses the story as a springboard for his own interpretation called The Death of Cupid. It was commissioned 6 years ago by his alma mater, Rhodes College. He suspected even then that it had legs, but didn't need an epic 3-hour running time.
I wanted to keep working on it because I knew it wasn't a 3-hour piece. I knew it was a 2-hour piece. I knew it could be leaner. Comedies always want to be lean. They don't want to be long. But I also knew it could be more muscular as well. So as funny as it was going to be, it was also going to be kind of aggressive in its themes, but also in its characters' attacks on each other. And I think the Fringe Festival was a wonderful opportunity to explore those cuts and changes and rewrites.
In its Kansas City history, the show was given a staged reading at the Unicorn Theater and an appearance at the 2009 Fringe Festival. It returns yet again this week at the Living Room, where the first floor playing area has been covered with 5.5 inches of sand. At a recent rehearsal, several barefoot actresses are chatting about how their sex strike may be coming to an end.
All right, you ready? Okay. Lights start rising. Good.
You're not going to be able to find
anything now. What are you and your husband going to do on your first night back together?
What do you think?
Oh, my God. It's been so damn long since we had sex. It's going to be like the first time all over again.
You're still thinking about sex. We stood up against the gods today. We stood up against our men, and peace was won.
My point exactly. And I don't know about you, but I'm celebrating with sex.
Hatley's play juxtaposes the bedroom politics of its mortal characters with those of such mythological icons as Aphrodite and Chaos. The latter is played by Katie Gilchrist, who explains why she has been with the show through the reading, the Fringe, and now this version.
I like seeing plays that have strong women as the backbone of the story. I mean, I like telling stories that humanity can relate to, but especially when a group of women is affecting change in a positive way, it's very empowering, and it's stories like that that our young women all across the board, and actually just young people in general, need to see. But it's plays like this that maybe let us believe in the thousands of years that since it's been written, not much has changed, but everything could change.
Since Hatley's inception of the story, international events have shifted, run their course, and shifted again. And he says this is the reason the play should and will evolve.
There's always so much more work that can be done, so it feels more like a living document than anything, in that every time I work it, I'm going to be fussing with it and sort of recreating it for the time in which we live now. So, you know, what it meant in 2009 is different than what it means now. I mean, we're kind of exhausted by a lot of our own internal national anxiety, a lot of our own sort of internal tragedies, especially in the last year that we've encountered with ourselves, with the school shootings, with the bombings, with this just ongoing, perpetual anxiety about how we fit into the world. And what is our real role in it?
Due to the show's mature themes, The Death of Cupid is recommended for audiences over 16. It also carries the appendage a whiskey musical. It's an invented phrase that speaks to Hatley's hope that the show feels a little like everyone in the room is a bit intoxicated. Steve Walker, KCUR News.